is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you guys for hanging out. Davin said it was a non-pee break. We're trying to get Joe's audio up just a skosh. So humorous for 1 second before we get to the program. Yeah, I'm behind the radio, kids. I am at a 3 on our levels here, and we've been dealing with this for Zoom. For those of you guys who listen to the podcast, Joe is low in the mix, and it's not intentional, although some of you may think it is. It's certainly not intentional. So we're trying one last time, maybe not the last time, to get this sorted out. Joe, if you would please say a few words.
Check, 1, 2, 3. Check, 1, 2, 3. Hello. Hello.
And it goes, and now, Pip, you speak, please.
Check, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Check, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
All right, enough. I got it. Hello. I got it. Yeah.
How is it now? I brought the stand a little higher.
All right, again, please.
Hello. Check, 1, 2. Hello.
Like, I think it's a touch better. Like, I won't know for sure until we're all talking. I think we just lost Pip's audio. I can't hear Pip now. Do you hear Pip, Joe?
No.
I don't hear Pip anymore. What the hell? I think she must have muted. Like, I don't know what she did. It's on her. What an awful way to start segment two. We're trying to fix Joe's problems, and Pip has muted her. We can't hear you, stupid. She can't hear us. What a fucking maroon. You know what, Joe? She probably had some of that fucking tiredness again. That's what probably happened.
Right.
So now I got to call you both back and deal with this
right.
Again. Oh my god! This is because Pip didn't drag. Oh fuck! This is because Pip did not drag her carcass here. Alexander Graham Bell never would have invented the phone if he would have known it was going to wind up in your hands.
I did nothing.
Yeah, well, apparently your phone had enough of you. Joe's phone doesn't want him to be loud, and yours just tells you to stifle a dingbat.
And I complied.
Yeah, you did. All right, Joe, one last time, and then I got to move on.
Check, 1, 2.
Yeah, that was better, actually. You were at 2. I'll take that. That was better.
Yeah.
Okay. Fucking. All right, well, there's some stuff that we'll take out of the podcast version of it, because that was pure shite.
Well, you know what? If they can hear Joe better, then it'll be worth it.
I'll let you know how the show goes and get back to you on that. All right.
If that's worth it or not.
Yes. I will let you know. Facebook will no longer remove posts on its platform asserting COVID-19 was man-made, a new report said. As President Biden on Wednesday ordered U.S. intelligence agencies to investigate if the virus came from a Chinese lab. In light of ongoing investigations into the origin of COVID-19 and in consultation with public health experts, we will no longer remove the claim that COVID-19 is man-made from our apps, a Facebook spokesperson told Politico. We're continuing to work with health experts to keep pace with the evolving nature of the pandemic and regularly update our policies as new facts and trends emerge, the spokesperson told the outlet. Facebook in February had banned posts claiming that COVID-19 is man-made or manufactured. The site's fact-checkers slapped a false information notification over shares of a February 23rd Post op-ed by Stephen Mosher, which said that the U.S. couldn't trust China's story about the origins of COVID-19 and argued that the virus might have escaped from a lab in Wuhan. The social media giant's reversal comes as the lab leak theory is gaining steam, amplified by a recent report in the Wall Street Journal that said 3 workers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology was hospitalized in November 19th with the coronavirus-like symptoms. These illnesses came shortly after the first officially reported COVID-19 cases. Biden earlier Wednesday said that there are 2 predominant theories in the U.S. on how the virus originated. Those theories are that the virus emerged naturally from animals or escaped from a lab in Wuhan, China. Here's the thing. I don't know how a person such as us or the people who listen to this show, which is the vast majority of human beings, would have any real definitive way of saying, no, it came from a bat, or no, it came from a lab. Steer clear of assholes that are telling you these things definitively, because we don't have the expertise, which is why I never on this show pontificated where it came from, because I heard, you know, qualified people say that it's not behaving like a regular virus that you find in nature. It's behaving like a man-made virus. And then there was, you know, other people saying, no, this happened. These viruses are out there. We're not dealing with it. So I didn't know. Now, I will say this. I think Facebook just got to the point, and you could say this is wrong or right, where it was the same assholes posting nonsense all the time, like hydroxychloroquine, like that was the end all be all, or this is just like the flu, or masks don't work. So at some point, Facebook probably goes, enough with you fucking knuckleheads. We do have the science on that. I feel like it was crying wolf so many times that Facebook might have dismissed these things before they should have. I feel like you can go to even a broken clock is right. Two times a day. Now, this may have come from a lab, may not have come from a lab. And I don't want to be the one to defend Facebook, but in reality, there was a lot of assholes who get their little fame and get their following by spouting nonsense to morons. Morons! Do not get your news from Facebook! I don't even recommend getting your news from me, but at least, you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, so I'm not defending Facebook per se, but I get why they had enough is enough. And are they doing it because it's Joe Biden? No, I think they're doing it because, like, a right-wing outlet, which actually has a reputation for being somewhat informative, the Wall Street Journal, came out with this report. It wasn't the tabloid New York Post. It wasn't god-awful Fox News or OAN or something. The Wall Street Journal, which is a right-wing publication, did research. The Wall Street Journal's not known as a bunch of crackpot morons. They're not. And now you're getting people like Fauci going, well, it is possible because it's science and it's evolving. So enough people come out, they go, okay, maybe we should have slapped the false information sticker on it before. Now, again, should they have slapped on before false information when we didn't know? Possibly not. But if you nitwits would stop always posting false information, they wouldn't have had to slap it on to begin with. That's my take.
Well, it was a learning curve for everybody. Mostly it was that everybody had their own theory.
But that, Joe, that's my point. The three of us and the vast majority of people are in no position to have a theory. Nor, worse yet, we are in no position to have a theory and pontificate like because it's an expert theory. The three of us could put this on YouTube right now, and we're all convincing in our own way, and we could come up with a theory, whatever it is. You know, we could say that COVID-19 came from a lab in China where they were forcing 8-year-old girls to lick metal folding chairs, and that's how COVID-19 was spread, and you would have morons believing it. So the problem is too many people have theories. But go on, Joe. I apologize.
No, you know, it's just that everybody, even the experts, had a theory of what was going on last year. You know, so for Facebook to ride herd on that, I got to tell you something a little close to home where Facebook is just getting a little out of hand. I posted on Facebook about 3 weeks ago. I wanted to try a joke out in the show, so I posted and I said, yeah, they asked Biden about Hamas, and it said it goes good with crackers.
I saw that joke. I saw that joke.
Facebook removed it and said it didn't meet with their standards.
I think Joe, by their standards, I would say unoriginal, because that thought has crossed my mind many times. As offensive, nay. Unoriginal, you're capable of much more, my friend.
Now, you're going for the joke. If he wrote that, maybe if you owned a fucking pencil, you know, I was a throwaway joke. I just wanted to test it. Yeah, it's on my phone. It gets a cheap laugh and stuff like that. If you wanted to ban it on being a comic writer, yeah, all right, I can write better, but it's cute. It's a throw. But for not meeting your standards, that's kind of crazy.
Who is it allegedly offending? Hamas? Are they worried about Hamas's feelings? Are they worried about Sabra's chickpea business? Who are you offending with that joke?
I don't know. And the thing about it was they gave me a chance to do a rebuttal, but...
Listen, the joke is bad enough, but fucking putting pen to paper to defend the joke, that's even worse.
Yeah, because I was going to start to quiz them, I got busy with our stuff, this, and I didn't have a chance. But I found it odd that it doesn't meet our... Really? You know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, Facebook swings back and forth. They're either not paying attention. We, you know, for years we talked about how they're not paying attention, or they need to relax. Like, I would like to know, and that's the problem with Facebook, they don't give you in. It does not meet our standard. Who is that offending? I mean, are we worried about Hamas's feelings? Are we worried about people who like to dip things in chickpea spreads? I mean, can we talk about tzatziki and tahini? What are the rules here? I don't know. Yeah. It's stupid.
It was the cheese consortium.
The cheese consortium is conspiring to hold Joe down. But yeah,
that's right. You, like, don't talk about hummus. You know, where's our profits going to go? We want people using cheese with their crackers only.
I guess if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, it was because it was a joke about Biden. But I mean, all the awful shit I see people writing about Biden. That was far from the worst thing I've seen. I don't know. I can't defend it, nor am I going to try to defend it.
If he wrote me back and said, "Really, we're removing it because we feel the next step is the arms," you know.
Well, Joe, I almost wrote that.
Yeah, you got a point. Got a point.
I almost wrote that, but I moved on.
Don't get a show, you know.
Yeah, I can't. Listen, we know Facebook is not perfect and everything. I'm just saying, this isn't some anti-Trump, pro-Biden conspiracy theory. It's not that. It's too many fucking morons posting ridiculous shit, and the same morons that posted ridiculous shit were posting this. And the truth is, it still might not have come from a lab. We don't know. We might never know. We need to know. I appreciate the Trump administration trying to get to the bottom of this. I appreciate the Biden administration trying to get to the bottom of this. It would be nice to know. You should not trust China. President Trump trusted China for a very long time until it was no longer politically expedient to trust China. But I wouldn't trust China, and I wouldn't trust Putin. You know why? Because at best, they're our competitors, and at worst, they're our fucking enemies. That's the way I look at this shit. But listen. You know what? Maybe Facebook was a little quick to the draw on this. But then again, maybe you shouldn't get your information from fucking Facebook. How about that? How about you read a paper like the Wall Street Journal for once in your life? Can you do that? All right. Okay.
It's also really obnoxious that we have devolved into a country where. Well, first of all, our two political parties are not working. They can't talk to each other. They can't get shit done. And it's like, we didn't pay these people to sit there and squabble over the water cooler. We're paying these people. We got these people in to take care of business. And that's not happening. And then we have our news media that is sitting there, and all they're doing is Monday morning quarterbacking the squabbling that goes up on each side, and they're like even further removed from the truth than the people doing the squabbling. So how do we know what's the truth anymore? It's really hard. You have to like look at a bunch of sources or look at trusted sources, like you're saying, because there are too many news outlets that are just ridiculously biased.
But they're not news outlets.
Can't listen to them anymore.
We gotta stop with them being news outlets. And people, yeah. Listen, we could start a news channel tomorrow. It doesn't mean we should be a news channel. And I'll tell you what, you get more truth here than you get on many news channels and all. But that's we consume now, as Americans, because we're so stupidly divided, different news sources. Everything has to have a spin. Everything has to have an angle. And I have to consume news that thinks the way I think. I don't want to be challenged. I know I'm right, and they're saying I'm right. They're saying they're right so they can get your fucking money, stupid. If they made more money saying you were wrong, they would tell you you're wrong. They don't give a shit what you think, you dumb morons, you. But all right, I can't with these people with the conspiracy theories and relying on Facebook. It's a fucking social media company. Yeah, you use it to poke somebody through the interwebs. That's what Facebook. You use it to post your gigs or to post horrible chickpea jokes. That's what you're using Facebook for. You know, I mean, it's not a news source. So yeah, I don't think.
But everybody's got their opinion. Like I said, when it comes to politics, Facebook and Twitter and the like is like the holiday table. There was really the only time that you ever heard anybody talk about politics or anything.
Yeah, and look how that turned out.
Thanksgiving, the most divisive American holiday in history.
Let's move on. Joe, you are still lower in the mix, so we'll have to play with this. We'll have to pick a time where we can try to experiment and do some things. Now's not the time. Obviously, you know, we'd like to have you on the same volume level as everybody else. Been trying for a year. I don't know.
I'm right over the phone.
No, I'm not saying it's user error. I'm just telling you the results. I'm not saying you're doing something incorrectly. I'm just telling you what's going on. That's all.
I blame the Chinese.
As well you should. Speaking of the Chinese, Andrew Yang. Is he Chinese? I think he's Chinese.
Yeah, I think he's Chinese-American, right? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
After massive backlash from the Asian American community over a political cartoon of Andrew Yang, the New York Daily News altered a picture of the New York City mayoral candidate to make his eyes look larger. Surprise! The illustration, which was first shared on social media by its artist Bill Bramhall, was slammed for emulating old racist caricatures of Asian Americans as having small, slanted eyes and buck teeth and for playing into perpetual foreigner stereotype. Though the Daily News changed the depiction of Yang for print, editorial page editor Josh Greenman insisted the depiction was not a racial stereotype or a racist caricature. Andrew Yang is a leading contender to be mayor of New York City, and his commenters, his opponents, and the news editorial board have pointed out he's recently revealed there are major gaps in his knowledge of New York City politics and policy. But why should that stop anybody from running for office? Nor has he ever voted in a mayoral election. He hasn't even bought himself a good New York City politician. This guy's not qualified for shit. Greenman wrote in a statement provided to NBC Asian American, Bill Bramhall's cartoon is a comment on that, period, end of story. However, many feel the cartoon wasn't just an innocuous commentary on Yang's politics, but rather lazy caricature that smacked of the racist way many Chinese Americans were depicted centuries ago when the U.S. experienced rampant anti-Chinese bias. Naomi Takayan Underwood, executive director of the Asian American Journalists Association, said it's entirely possible to make a political statement about Yang without relying on those tropes. We want to be clear that we don't take sides in political races, she said. We want to hold media organizations accountable in terms of the candidate coverage without feeding into or perpetuating stereotypes and historical tropes. Yang himself responded to their cartoon and said, Ching Chang Chang. No, that's a racial stereotype. He most certainly did not say that. He responded to the cartoon in a statement on social media, writing, every time you say that I'm not a real New Yorker, you're telling another Asian American that they don't belong. No, they're saying you don't belong, which may not be right, which is probably incorrect, but I don't think they're telling every Asian American that. Listen, I can tell you, there's plenty of fine Asian Americans weaving in and out of fucking traffic on their bicycles as I'm trying to drive. The Asian American community is well represented in New York City, I guarantee you.
Jesus.
And they are very quick, because I try to hit them and I can't. I will be the Yang continues, I will be the first to tell you that I'm open to different opinions and will always welcome conversations on policy, and I am a proud son of immigrants, Yang wrote, but to paint me in the media as a perpetual foreigner to this city is wrong and subtly approves racism at a time when people are being beaten on the street on the basis of who they are. Well, that's a problem, too. He's right about that. The cartoon showed Yang with small, slanted eyes running out of Times Square subway station near a shopkeeper exclaiming, the tourists are back. It was in part a reference to Yang's recent interview with comedian television star Ziwa Fumido. All right, let's not call people stars if I've never heard of them. Anyway, I'll continue.
Yeah, really. must be the writer's cousin.
Seriously.
Big star.
In which he said his favorite subway stop was Times Square, an area notoriously avoided by native New Yorkers, for good reason. Greenman wrote in his statement that the drawing was changed after people reacted badly to Yang's eye, how Yang's eyes were drawn, adding that he and Bramhall stand by the concept of the cartoon. But Underwood said the public's interpretation of the artwork is just as important as intent when assessing the depiction. Pay attention to your audience, he said. This is part of a long century's worth use of political cartoons to otherwise a population. So whether or not the intent was that, the impact was felt by a segment of your audience and growing part of an American community. Underwood said exaggerated, mangled depictions of Asian Americans were used to fuel arguments for the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882, a character drawn with a long Manchurian-style braid, slanted eyes, and buck teeth was often referred to as John Chinaman. Think of the old Mr. Magoo cartoons. There was that character there. And weaponized to depict the threat of Chinese labor. The Exclusion Act would subsequently put a 10-year moratorium on all Chinese labor immigration. She pointed out that such depictions appeared at various points throughout history, including during the U.S. colonization of the Philippines through a policy known as benevolent assimilation. It sounds lovely. I'm guessing it wasn't.
Does it?
It sounds nice. I'm guessing it wasn't. Much like going to a camp sounds good. It's not. This sort of a million micro cuts in terms of the portrayal of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders as foreigners, Underwood said. Van Tran, I mean, seriously, this person needs to have a fucking show in The Village with that name. Van Tran, that's fucking tremendous. But I'll go on.
He's a man.
I don't know what Van Tran is. I'm not going to ask. But I expect a lot of, like, frilly things. Van Tran, a sociology professor at the Graduate Center of City University of New York, also said these stereotypes have roots in a long history of anti-Asian racism. The more generous interpretation would be that Bramhall took artistic liberty in the portrayal of Yang during a moment of heightened anti-Asian sentiment, which shows a lack of judgment and consideration for the Asian community, he said. The less generous interpretation would be that Bramhall falls back to these racial stereotypes because racist jokes against Asians were deemed to be acceptable. Given what, by the way, that is historically true. Historically, you could make fun of Asians. Up until very recently, people go, oh shit, that's wrong, which is why when we were doing the Saturday Night Live sketch and they were making fun of Italian Americans, I said, well, maybe they shouldn't be doing that. Because, you know, why do Italians get to be made fun of and Chinese can't or whatever? So there is a, yeah, I mean, we do that. Given what has trained, or maybe we should be able to make fun of everybody. That's valid too.
We should be maybe able to make fun of everybody because basically it's always been that you've been proud of your heritage. And if somebody was goofing on your heritage, I mean, a lot of it, you know, you might say stereotypes, but some of it is, you know, is true. And yes, that person of that heritage, you know. So people are goofing on you. If you're proud enough of your heritage, you
Well, but that's the problem, Joe. That's the problem. People are made to feel ashamed of their heritage. Not everybody has the thick skin that we wish they had, or the
thick skin. Are we, you know, up till recently we all had a thick.
No, skin. No. Well, if you listen to the Asian American community, they're telling you this has bothered us for years. It's just gotten to the point.
Something. The Asian American community. You go into an Asian community, they don't want you there. They don't. They don't like you intruding in their territory.
Well, that's just you. That's just you, Joe. But I will tell you that you came through very nice and clearly in the mix on that little point of yours about the Asian American community. So we got that going
through the whole show.
All right. Given what has transpired, the most appropriate course of action, Underwood said, would be to show some sort of learning and acknowledgement of their mistake and why it was a mistake. Someone should talk to the Daily News and say, we've experienced centuries of these kinds of cartoons villainizing us. She said, I think it's important for a newsroom to show a learning curve. All right, I looked at this depiction. I don't think, because they, you know, if they put Yang with the Manchurian mustache and the ponytail and the buck teeth and that hat,
exactly.
I would have been right there with them going, what the hell are they doing? This is an I would have been going, this is an accomplished businessman. How dare you put him down to this?
Exactly. It looks like him. I mean, and then he's going, well, what about the big teeth? He's smiling because he's arriving at Times Square. It's not Bucky. It's a character of him. He's an Asian man, and he did not use the stereotypical things to make this cartoon.
Like, I don't know.
Again, people got to relax.
I don't know what they wanted to do with the eyes. Asians have slanted eyes. I'm not saying anything racially.
He's an Asian guy. Yeah, right. I mean, look at him. He's got
like what? Like, what do they want? Like, do they want to give him anime eyes? I mean, do they want to take away his Asian eyes and make him like Anglo-Saxon eyes? Then you're gentrifying Andrew Yang, and I think that's even more offensive. He's an Asian man. There's nothing to be ashamed of about that.
Think about Yang himself. What do you think about all this? I'm pissed they're calling me a tourist. He didn't even allude to this, you know. He's more pissed off than he's a tourist because essentially they feel he's a carpetbagger, you know, with no experience in the city. But still, you know, I would
argue
to that why he was upset.
I like Andrew Yang. I don't know about him as mayor, but I like Andrew Yang. I like the things he says. He seems to be a nice person. I would argue Andrew Yang needs to get a fucking thicker skin if he wants to be mayor of New York City. Because if he's worried about a cartoon from the Daily News, which is a left-wing rag, by the way. The New York Post is a right-wing rag. The Daily News is a left-wing rag. If he's worried about a cartoon from the Daily News, he's not going to make it as mayor. I mean, think about all the things.
I think Yang was upset about it. I think Yang was, you know, the people around Yang and all these groups were.
No, Yang sounded pretty upset. Yang sounded pretty upset about it. He didn't have to comment. I wouldn't have commented. I wouldn't have commented on. I would have gone, the Daily News, never heard of it, and I would have moved on. That's what I would have done.
You're an Asian man. I mean, that's what an Asian. You look. It's a character of you. You're an Asian man.
Yeah, and like, and let's be honest. I mean, he does himself no favors by saying he's never voted it for a local politician. He's unfamiliar with the policies. His favorite stop is Times Square. I mean, he certainly gives the cartoonists plenty of cover. Now, I will say this. This might be my bias showing. Because I know the local papers are left and right wing, I'm probably more likely to give the left wing paper a little bit more leeway because this is a Democratic candidate than, say, if the Post did it, because I know how right wing the Post is. So, I mean, and maybe that's wrong. It's probably wrong on my part, but I'm saying that. But, I mean, to think that the Daily News was targeting him based on that cartoon, it's a little much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't like his, but yeah, he seems like a nice enough guy. I don't like his policies at all. But that, you know, but that's neither here nor there for this discussion. But, yeah, but I mean, I saw the cartoon, too. He's an Asian man. It was an Asian man coming out of the subway looking happy that he was there, accentuating his feeling, you know, their feeling or commentary on him being a tourist. And like you said, it wasn't John Chinaman with the Fu Manchu and the hat and all and coming out in a rickshaw. I mean, for people to get people got to start to relax. They really do.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, we might. Here's the thing. Cartoons are caricatures. That's what cartoons are. And they are right. Cartoonists have traditionally taken ethnic features to slam them. Look at the caricatures of Jews, by the way. I mean, with the huge nose, you know, sometimes there might be a horn or a tail, and the John Chinaman, and black people with big lips and bug eyes. So there is that history there.
But you're not talking in a context of a paper. Now, maybe like in a rate in the South or something like that in the 1870, but something like that. But at the context now, it's not stereotypical thing. It's a character of him coming out of the subway.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should be mindful of the history, but I don't think this was a personal attack. That being said, we just might be at the place, and this is what we need to understand: is whether you're a cartoonist or an entertainer like a comedian. You just can't do ethnic stuff anymore. We grew up on ethnic stuff, our generations. We grew up on hearing ethnic jokes, you know, too. They didn't call Polish people, they called them Polaks. The stereotype of them was that they're dumb. The stereotype of Jews are they're cheap, Irish or drunks. You know all the stereotypes. You know what? If people are getting that upset about this stuff, and again, I wouldn't, but I'm from a different generation. If people are getting that upset about it, if we lose those jokes, if we're going to have the same rules where we're not going to make fun of everybody, which is kind of what I was doing with the saying last week with the Saturday Night Live Italian skit. If we're not going to make fun of any ethnicity, fine. Just tell me the rules. Tell me the rules. But I don't.
But it's just getting to the point. You know, maybe I'm also. I mean, there's a day program. Our shipping manager, fortunately, he cut himself with a knife. He was doing something. He cut his hand with it. He's a Puerto Rican. So we when he got back, you know, getting stitched up, we told him that he had to renounce being a Puerto Rican because he can't handle a knife. And I look at my coworker who's Italian, and I go, that's you and I, like you and I, not know how to bury a body. We'd have to be renouncing Italian, and we're all laughing because it's, you know, we're
but you hold on. You're talking amongst people who know each other and know it's not coming from a place of malice. It's coming from a place of love. That's different. How you and I talk to each other in the car, the average person would probably and justifiably think is abhorrent.
Oh, matter of fact, it's so bad. Just a little insight: when we come back from the road, the last 2 hours we have to purposely be nice because we have to deprogram each other.
You can't go home and be vicious like this.
I mean, you went to Scranton with us to do that thing at that place, but I mean the bile. Because when we're on the road, number one, we talk about our acts, discuss, then we talk about the business, then we discuss politics, and then it's back to, and it's just nothing but hours of bile.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what you did with your, as long as everybody's on board with your friends, fine. But it could have very well turned into an HR complaint. But if you're not amongst your friends, You know, let's just make the rules. We're no longer doing ethnic jokes. Because I can't figure out what ethnic jokes I can do and what ethnic jokes I can't do. That's too difficult, and that line's always shifting. So if we're just going to say all this shit is offensive, as a comedian, I'm telling you, fine. I'll retire all that shit. I don't need it.
But here's the thing. If you're writing a character of Yang, he's an Asian person. How are you supposed to draw this guy? What if it's an African American? Are you going to make him white or what?
That's what I was saying with the eyes. Like I don't understand what they wanted to. Asians have slanted eyes. I'm not saying anything. That's a slur. It's a physical characteristic
of
them.
It's a physical trait of that ethnicity.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, well, we have to be set, but how the fuck do you want to draw this guy?
Irish people have small dicks. I'm not saying anything that's a slur. It's a physical characteristic.
No. You know, it wasn't even exaggerated. I could see if that cartoon looked like Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's, you know? Mm-hmm. That was truly offensive and, like, way overblown. But it really... To my mind, it didn't look like buck teeth. It didn't look like exaggerated caricature of his eyes or anything. I mean, it just was a cartoonish depiction of what the guy looks like. And it wasn't, to my mind, none of it was so exaggerated that it should have taken offense. And to Davin's point, this guy wants to be the mayor of New York, and this is like... this is too much for him? Oh, buddy, you better strap one on because this is nothing.
You might want to call it Mayor Dinkins or Mayor you can't call Koch anymore. I don't think you call Dinkins. Call up Bloomberg. Call up Rudy. Ask them the horrible things that was printed and said about them.
Good Lord.
And ask De Blasio. Nobody likes De Blasio.
When Dinkins was mayor, Bob Grant on WOY used to call him the men's room attendant.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Well,
can't do that anymore.
Like, look, honey bunch, you're just too precious for this city.
Yeah, I think it's a misstep. I think they have a valid point in general. I just don't think this was the right place to do it. But
to the point that we're right now facing an unprecedented backlash at Asian Americans for God knows what stupid reason they've decided to be the scapegoat du jour, but the thing is that, yes, Asian Americans are being attacked in the streets, and so there is a sensitivity to that, but this isn't an instance. You gotta pick your battles when you're fighting against them. Yeah, well, you gotta pick your battles when you're saying, you know, we're being attacked, we're being defamed. It's like, this is the hill you want to draw. This is the hill you want to die on about that. This cartoon depiction.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's very possible Yang would have ignored it, but he was getting pressured from Asian Americans that he had to say something. I get that too. I don't know. I'm just telling you. I don't think it was. I'd be the first one calling it racist if they did the typical John Chinaman and go, what the fuck is that? It just doesn't look like that to me. And I think it would have been wrong to gentrify his eyes or to make him have, like, a white complexion. It just would have been, this is an Asian.
Because if you do that, they're going to come at you again. Oh, what do you think? What are you trying to, you're ashamed to make him Asian? Is there a problem if he's Asian? You know, there's no winning here. So you might as well go in and make it a character of him. You know, and take the hit. Well, I can't believe he did it. Why? He's fucking Asian. That's what he looks like.
Well, there is no winning, and that's why I'm saying, you know what? Maybe it's just time to retire this shit for a while, which is fine. I just wish somebody would make the rule. We'd all adjust. Good comics would adjust. Hacks wouldn't be able to, and there's plenty of them, and I won't cry for them. But good comics, we'd adjust, and you'd still tell these racist, off-color jokes amongst your friends, and you'd still bust your, your Puerto Rican friends or your Jewish friends or your black friends' balls amongst friends. You could still do that. But if we have to retire from public discourse, we're not really losing that much because we're not really reinventing the wheel of any of this shit at this point. It's not like the art is really losing something. But we'll move on. We'll move on to, speaking of...
Shame. School of Fool.
Before we go on, Joe was talking about inflation last week, and I sent him an article. I sent them both an article about how it was being discussed by the people who you would want discussing these things. So I know that was a big concern for Joe last week. Why isn't anybody discussing? Well, they are, thankfully. So we don't have to worry about that.
I'm sorry. What was that? I'm sorry.
Last week you were very concerned about inflation, and you were saying nobody's talking about it. And I said I sent you an article where the people who you would want to be talking about inflation and what's going on with monetary policy are actually talking about it. That's all.
But I wish the I didn't get a chance to, but I wish the president would discuss it.
Well, he's got enough. He's got enough on his plate. With Texas, a state we're going to cover right now. Texas says, "Hold my beer. We're going to be the new Florida." I just got to say right off the top, I can't with these state legislatures going after problems that aren't problems to try to appease far right or far left. It happens to be far right now, but I can easily imagine it being far left constituencies at the detriment of common sense. I can't take it anymore. And with that, we'll get into this. So Republicans in the Texas House passed a bill Tuesday that effectively bans public school teachers from talking about racism, white supremacy, or current news events. The bill, which is being fast-tracked to Republican Governor Greg Abbott to sign into law, states that social studies and civics teachers aren't – I didn't even know we had civics teachers – aren't allowed to discuss the concept of one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex, or the idea that an individual, by virtue of the individual's race or sex, bears responsibilities for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex. It also states that social studies and civics teachers may not be compelled, I compel you by the power of Christ, may not be compelled to discuss current events or widely debated and currently controversial issues or public policy or social affairs as part of a course. The legislation, which passed 79-65, almost entirely along party lines, doesn't explicitly use the word ban, but it might as well. The bill is written in a kind of very clever way, said Democratic State Representative James Tallarico, a vocal critic of the bill. You can talk about race in the classroom, but you can't talk about privilege or white supremacy. It doesn't outright ban talking about race, but the idea is to put landmines so any conversation about race in the classroom would be impossible. The legislation also states that teachers don't have to take professional training like cultural proficiency and equity training if it makes them feel any discomfort, guilt, or anguish, or any other form of psychological distress because of their race or gender. No, no, no! This is a safe space, my little buttercup teachers, you. Ugh. Here's a copy of the bill. Republicans in the Texas Senate already passed an identical version, so it won't be long before it lands on the governor's desk for a signature. The bill is part of a broader nationwide effort by conservative Republicans to enact laws that prevent the teaching of critical race theory, which, by the way, is a terrible name, an academic discipline. The liberals come up with the worst goddamn names. Would they fucking hire me? Critical race theory. Are we watching the Indianapolis 500? That's what I want, some critical race theory here. I need to know how long these pit stops are going to be there. I need Joe and commentary about fucking tires and fuel injection. That's some critical race theory we can all rally around, because this shit sounds way fucking scarier than it is. Much like defund the police, the liberals really need to hire me to help them name some shit. Ugh, but I digress.
It sounds like they're complaining about, you know, are the Africans allowed to run without shoes?
No! No, we don't even need to discuss it. No, they can't. It's Rule 36A in the marathon bylines. Anyway, unless a lion's chasing them, then they can wear some Air Jordans. Anyway, an academic discipline centered on the idea that racism is an everyday experience for most people of color, that this has shaped the country's legal and social systems, and that a large part of society has no interest in changing this reality because it benefits white people. Texas legislation goes further than other state proposals in that it would prevent students from participating in any kind of political activity as part of a civics or social studies discourse. No! We don't want you to be an active citizen! The bill is written so broadly that it applies to students engaging in the most basic of civic activities, such as communicating with their own elected officials about a particular topic. Do not ask Senator Cruz about Cancun. He's very, very sensitive. That's why this debate about civics is so heartbreaking, said Tallarico, a former teacher who previously authored a civics education bill that passed in the House. We want students to develop a true love of America, but they won't see America as a three-dimensional country with complexities. This kind of superficial patriotism crumbles really easily. The lawmaker who represents a district of North Austin said the bill has flown through the Texas legislature because it's a priority for the governor. He speculated that Abbott has his eye on running for president in 2024 and wants to beef up his conservative credentials. I doubt it. The man can't handle an ice storm. It's a strange dynamic we're seeing. Florida and Texas are trying to outcompete each other to see who can pass the most far-right Neanderthal legislation, said Tallarico. Well, that's his opinion. The focus is not children. The focus is on scoring points with old white voters who see the country slipping away from them demographically from my cold, dead white hands. Abbott took part in a Fox News town hall last month with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and touted his efforts to pass legislation aimed at preventing students from learning about the country's racist history, to which DeSantis said, "Tell me more about this ice storm." America is the most exceptional nation in the history of the entire world, the Texas governor said to applause. Applause! Kudos, sir! You are kissing our ass and we like it. We're working on a curriculum program in our session right now to teach kids about the founding documents. Really? What about that three-fifths ship? The Constitution. The Bill of Rights. What about you women? Where are my ladies at? You don't vote. Anyway, the Federalist Papers. So students can truly learn what did make America in the greatest nation in the history of the world in a way that we want them to. This week's Texas House debate on the bill was tense. In the wee hours, when everybody goes wee, of Tuesday morning, Tallarico pressed the bill's author, the Republican Senator Steve Toth, on adding an amendment to allow teachers to discuss a more honest history of the country. Would you be open to an amendment requiring that we teach the history of white supremacy and teach students that's morally wrong? Tallarico said, no, Toth replied. What is this wrong? What is this? No, actually, he agreed. I'm fucking with you. He said, no, I'm not. You could teach that it's fucking wrong. Toth is good with that. He's not such a douche. Why would you think he's a douche? He's not a fucking douche. He's just a politician trying to do his job. Anyway, they clashed again after Toth amended his bill to ban mandatory teaching of the 6-19 Project. An award-winning project launched by the New York Times Magazine that puts the consequences of slavery and the contributions of black Americans at the center of the country's national narrative. Representative Toth, your lengthy bill about civics makes no effort to teach the history of racism or white supremacy and its impact on the founding of our country. Politically, socially, economically, said Tallarico, the only thing you're doing is preventing us from talking about race in a way that makes you uncomfortable. This amendment is about making sure that history is taught and not a journalistic creative story that someone came up with, replied Toth, referring to the 1619 Project. Yes, it was the greatest fantasy in the world, this fucking slavery thing. What a lovely story. Ultimately, the bill passed the House with the support of one Democrat, Representative Richard Raymond, one Republican opposer, Representative Lyle Larson. Ooh, they're brave. Both them fucking stepping out. Good for them. Tallarico said the travesty of the situation is that Republicans claiming to be promoting patriotism are actually promoting a superficial narrative about the history of America, which he predicted children will figure out on their own. Well, it depends. Students have the best BS meters. Nah, you could fucking lure them into a van. They're not that bright. Show them a fucking puppy and some Jolly Ranchers. You're good to go. As an educator, I've heard. As an educator, you have to tell them the truth. What, Pip? No? Okay. This bill will prevent... They don't sense that fucking BS. Kids get fucking snatched all the time. Let's be a little bit more honest. You know, we like to say kids have the best BS meters. Nay, nay. Nay, nay. Very easy to steal a child. I've heard. This bill will...
asking for a friend.
Stating for a friend. With a raper van. This bill will prevent them from telling the students the truth about the country we live in. Civics is something that is so needed, and we need the students to grapple with all of it. All right, here's what I think about this shit. I mean, talk about woke, powdering the ass, safe space. We now need to teach history. Actually, the way the three of us were taught history. From a fucking safe space that we would not be able to handle the truth of our history. That because we knew the full truth, we could not love our country. But yet we taught about Roosevelt turning back a ship of Jews. He turned back a ship of Jews. Very uncomfortable in our history. We learned about that women could not vote. Fucking ludicrous if you think about it now. We learned that black people, slaves, were looked at as three-fifths as a human being. That's the fucking founding documents of shit. It's uncomfortable stuff. So we've learned uncomfortable things. I can speak for myself. I think I speak for the two of you. Say what you want about our country and how we feel about it. We all love our country. We probably think various things are wrong with our country or various people about our country. But we all talk about things and we all love our country. Why do you have to deprive students from talking about these things. I mean, how do you talk about World War II if you're not going to talk about racism? How do you teach about slavery if you're not going to talk about white supremacy? Obviously, the white people who were slave owners felt they were better than the black people who they were using as property. If somebody's an equal, you don't sell them. It's inherent. So we're not going to teach about slavery. We're not going to teach about the Civil War. It makes no sense. Today is the anniversary of the massacre of Black Wall Street in Tulsa. We talked about this several months ago. The three of us never learned about that. In school, it was deemed unnecessary for us to learn it. It shouldn't have been. It's very important. There are still survivors today of that. President Biden met with three survivors of the black massacre of Black Wall Street. Why were we protected? Would we love our country any less? No. You know why I love our country? Because we're not perfect. We're at our best when we try to create a more perfect union. When we go, oh, wow, that was kind of fucked up. Maybe we shouldn't have put Japanese Americans in internment camps. Maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. And then we go, we're not going to do that again because we're better than that. We're not going to own people based on their race again because we're better than that. We're not going to have a moratorium on Chinese people coming here to work because we're better than that. And that's where you could go to other countries. Yeah, we got a checkered history. But you know what? Eventually, we get to the right fucking thing. That's why we're the example. That's why, as Ronald Reagan called us, we're the shining city on the hill. Not because we were perfect, not because we were created out of perfection, but because of our imperfections and how we overcome it and try to live up to what our founding fathers wanted. They were not perfect human beings. We would not have a whole thing on Benjamin Franklin with 200 synonyms for being drunk, you know, if he wasn't a herpetic drunk who liked her, syphilitic drunk who liked the French women. He was flawed. He was brilliant. He was flawed. It's okay. We don't love Benjamin Franklin any less. We're not trying to ban the nickel. It's just... It's a It's just a juvenile way of looking about how we have to feel about our country. And it does us no favors because what happens is if you deprive these students of this basic education, at some point they're going to encounter people that were educated on these things. And they might feel resentful that you never taught it to them. Like, I feel resentful that I feel like things were held back from us. It was a generational thing. Nobody in our generation was taught about that because whoever was putting together history books deemed it wasn't important. You know what? It's kind of a fucking big deal. It kind of explains right now a lot of things that are going on. You had this black community that could not be part of the white community, so they built themselves up with black businesses. It was a thriving community, and the white people came in there and fucking slaughtered them. I still love my country, but we need to recognize we do some bad shit. So let's not do it again. All right.
I think it's the... I think... This... How you go about it. Now, the uprising in Tulsa is a very interesting thing about how they built the black community. These blacks came from the racism of South. And they went to Oklahoma, and they started all these businesses, all these blacks that they were making something. And the white people there, you know, did not like it because they thought they were doing very well, and they burned it down. And that needs to be taught. And a succession of things that has happened in history, you show a history. The only thing that I don't like about, and I don't know if that would be in critical race history. I mean, basically, the assumptions that, not from what you just mentioned, because that should be taught, but from in general, is kind of, it's not really helping the problem, where the lead assumptions that people that take, they look for race, you know, critical race theory looks for racism and everything until they find it. And that's, you know, that's the job, you know, everybody's just looking for something to be offended. It's almost like the last story.
But Joe, here's the thing. The thing about critical race theory. It's very comprehensive. You don't have to take everything from it. So what you're saying, you know, as a school board, I could go, you know what? That's a little too much. But I could still take the things about Tulsa. You don't have to take it all. But to deny that you can't teach any of it.
Right. And you'd have to adjust the curriculum to that. Another thing is interest convergence. White people only give black opportunities and freedom when it's also in their own interest. Maybe back then, you know, we've made a lot of strides. But like I said, you build on the whole thing. The whole thing in Tulsa is a fascinating story of the indignity that these people caused. And you build it up into the civil rights movement, and you build it up closer today. I think for the far left reaching is kind of brainwashing to say that all white men are evil and everything these.
No, yeah, like if I was building curriculum, and I haven't read it. I haven't read the 619 Project, but taking your word that that's in there for the sake of this argument, for the sake of that argument, that's in there, I wouldn't include that in my curriculum. I could still take enough out of the 619 Project that is worthy of my students to know.
Let's go back to the 619 Project. We discussed this on the show, I think, back in the winter. And I think the consensus there, Pitt, maybe is that, you know, there are some things in there. There are some things. It would have to be adjusted where sometimes it's far-reaching, but there are things that need to be put in there. I think we also left off on that people from politics, teachers in academia, needed to really sit with that and come to a happy medium. And as late, they have not.
But here's the problem, Joe. I think we did. We, you know, we've said many times, you really need a skilled teacher to deal with that. And what they're saying is, you don't have to get continuing professional education if it makes you feel uncomfortable. What? What? If you can't talk about these things that are affecting all of us, then I don't want you in front of the class. If you need a safe space to talk about racism and sexism and you feel guilty and it's too much for you, then you're not qualified for the job.
You know what? Why don't you have somebody teach religion and skip over the whole Jesus was crucified part because it's oogie.
It is a little oogie. I gotta tell you, not a fan. I feel that's where the Christians turned on the Jews. That whole, you know, everybody was fine with the Jews when he was a rabbi. As soon as you put him up on a couple 2x4s, everybody's pissed off at the Jews. I don't like it. But no, your point is well taken. That it is, for lack of a better word, it is whitewashing history, which. We were not taught something like this. We were taught a version of whitewash history, but we talked about women's suffrage. How can you talk about women's suffrage and the movement to vote if you don't talk about sexism? Women were looked at as inferior.
If you look at the radical point of that, all men are sexist, and you need to look at any point of a man because they're being sexist. That's getting to the critical stage of that. However, what you just brought up, yeah, you need to discuss that. So. It's the thing with critical race theory is they kind of tend, you know, from what I've been reading, they kind of tend to go a little bit too far on certain things. But if you want to put in the curriculum the Tulsa uprising, it's a fascinating story, and it's a story that needs to be told, you know, and other stories. But you if you're going to build it, you lead it up to that, to the Jim Crow laws, to the, you know, the water fountains, to the whole history that you get a whole point of this. And you make sense of it and understand it.
Here's what I will tell you. The people who are against this type of teaching either do not love America or they don't think we can love America if we know the truth about America. They're not giving us credit. It's one or the other. Because if you're an informed citizen, listen, man, America's done god-awful things, whether it be to Japanese Americans, Native Americans, blacks, Asians. Yeah, here's a tradition of America. And again, I love this country. One of the, much like apple pie and hot dogs, racism. America loves them some good racism. But you know what? So do a lot of other nations. What makes us exceptional is usually we overcome that shit. Usually somebody goes, enough with your fucking nonsense. We're all equal. We're all human beings.
Right. You're gonna get racism in this country because it's basically a melting pot of everybody coming in.
Yeah.
You know?
Every country has racism.
It's a rite of passage. You know?
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be, but it is.
The Irish need to apply, you know. But I think telling that story is one thing, but I think that the critical race theory on a lot of points goes a little
But this isn't. But I hear what you're saying, but this isn't that, Joe. They don't even want us to talk about it. They don't want us to talk about the concept of white supremacy. How can you talk about Jim Crow if you're not talking about white supremacy? I don't understand it. I don't understand how you could give these kids an education.
Well, right. You need to speak about Jim Crow. You need to speak about the Tulsa uprising. But I think when they go, you need to look at racism, because you're moving it into today, you need to look at racism in any in everything until you find it. You know, it's almost like a lynch mob, pardon the pun, but it's like, you know, because you're looking for an example of it is the last story that we did about Yang. Oh, this is racist. No, it's not. You know, so that's kind of, you know, a thing to worry about. But it's
not teaching people to do that, Joe. It's giving people the tools and the information to discuss it. Because taking away the ability to teach these things, to teach what the history was for real, is infantilizing children, the whole country, if we're growing up learning the whitewashed, you'll excuse the expression, but the whitewashed version of our history. You know, it's not saying, I mean, that's what you're describing is the exact opposite of what they're saying. They're saying we're not allowed to teach, I hate critical race theory, what a terrible title that is. We're not allowed to teach the history of racism and other isms in this country because it'll make people feel bad about the country. Give us the information. Let us make our own decisions. Let us be able to talk about it and improve on it. If we're not allowed to discuss what really happened, it's the exact opposite of saying, oh, if we discuss it, we're going to say white people bad, evil in every case. No, that's the black and white of it. You know, it's saying we did nothing or we did everything. You know, that's not what this is. This is getting into the nitty gritty and discussing what really happened. But all of the things, you know, you're the good and the bad of this country. We should be able to discuss all of it.
Yeah, well, you would think so. All right, anyway, that's what's going on in Texas. Texas also has a new voting thing that they're trying to pass through very, very, very quickly. I mean, there's a lot of things that get headlines with these voting laws, but then there's things that, wait, like they can't have water. Well, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. But here's something that you need to know in part of this Texas voting law.
Well, they can have water, but it's at a certain speed.
I don't want to talk about that. But here's a more important one in the Texas law. Here's a more important one in the Texas law. Now, what they're in the Texas law that they're trying to pass, which the Democrats walked out on, the judges can overturn an election without proof. That's the type of shit you got to worry about. That's the type of thing that go, wait a minute, that's not American. That's the type of shit that you, and that's what I was talking about in the Georgia law. It wasn't the things making the headlines. It was the fact that they could put partisan people in to overturn the elections. These are the things, you don't want this shit. That's not what democracy is. That's what they're trying to do. And like I can tell you, the only reason, I don't want to get into a whole big thing about it, is the only reason why they would be doing this is because they feel they can't win. You've heard me say for years, let the best ideas win. I'm voting for the ideas. They don't have ideas right now, so this is what they're coming up with. And if the Democrats were doing the same thing, I'd tell you the same thing. You gotta have ideas. And if you don't have ideas, they're trying to suppress the vote. Like, one of the things in there was they don't want people voting early on Sunday morning. You know who that's targeting? African Americans, because they have this thing, it's called Souls to the Polls, where their churches come and then they go to vote. You know, well, you can say, well, it's a mixture of religion and politics. Yeah, and the fucking right does it too. I don't like any of it, but I mean, you can't just target the Democrats that do this shit. Let's target fucking everybody. Let's make sure.
You know what I wish? I wish they had Election Day on Election Day, is what I wish.
Well, it's not Election Day. It's always been early voting. We've talked about this. There's always been early voting. This is not a new concept that happened this year. There's always been early voting, whether you like it or you don't like it. People take advantage of it, and that's fine. You know, I've always been the one, as long as we could get as many legally qualified people to vote, I'm happy. If they happen to be more conservatives that are legally qualified to vote, to vote, so be it. Them's the breaks. I'm fine with that. If there happens to be more liberals that are legally qualified to vote, that vote, so be it. I'm fine with that too. I'm not a fan of suppressing anybody who's legally allowed to vote. It's bullshit. But it's a founding principle in this country that we get to determine our governance. And what you're seeing is you're seeing people try to take it away from you. And whether you're right-leaning or left-leaning, you should be outraged. Because right now the right's doing it. It doesn't mean the left won't try it at some other point. That's why I'm like so torn on this fucking filibuster thing. Because I want them. I want them to pass this voting rights thing in the federal government, which the Supreme Court repealed a new version of it. But the same, and the filibuster is not a constitutional thing; it's just a tradition they came up with during Jim Crow. But on the other hand, I know if the Democrats get rid of Jim Crow, if the Democrats get rid of the filibuster, the Republicans are going to bludgeon it too. That's what it is. It's both sides are going to do it. So you should really vote your conscience. You should really vote what you value. And if it happens to go against your political affiliations, you should stand up and call it bullshit. I don't believe in that. But anyway, enough of that. Just people need to be fucking mindful what's going on right now, because right now they might be trying to take Joe's right to vote, for instance, but soon they'll come for Pip's right to vote, and then they'll come for my right to vote. As an American, you should want everybody who's a legal citizen be able to vote. Whether you win an election or lose, legal citizens should be allowed to vote. That's the way the country should run, and they're trying to take that away from you. All right, let's do some Nazi...
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
All right. A New York high school is recalling copies of its yearbook because a graduating senior listed Adolf Hitler's autobiography as his favorite book within its pages. Oh, boy. Cambridge Junior Senior High School. Make up your fucking mind. Cambridge Junior Senior High School stopped distributing the yearbook 2 days after it started when it came to their attention that a student had cited Mein Kampf as his favorite book, the Times Union reported Wednesday. The newspaper is not naming the student, but sent a message on Facebook to the likely profile of the student to ask if he or his parents would comment. The book published in 1925 outlines the tenets of Nazism. Less than 10 years later, Hitler's National Socialist Party won enough votes for him to be sworn into as German Chancellor. Some 6 million Jewish people died under systematic persecution by the Nazis, along with political opponents, queer people, and people from other marginalized groups. Cambridge Superintendent Douglas Silvernell said he was horrified and extremely disappointed. I imagine he would be. He did not provide information about how the student's selection had not been caught as the yearbook was edited, but promised that the editing process would be improved going forward. An Albany rabbi told the newspaper it was important to find out why the student chose to highlight the anti-Semitic work. It's very disheartening, especially given the heightened sensitivity we've been experiencing with racism and anti-Semitism and violence during the past year, Rabbi Scott L. Spien said. It certainly indicates we have a lot more work to do. I will say, out of all the various quotes we read from various people, that's one of the better ones. That's a very level-headed, reasoned approach to the Shonda. Anyway, asked if the student had been disciplined, Silvaner said the school was consulting with its legal counsel. The school is asking students to turn the about 40 copies of the yearbook already distributed. In all, it cost more than $10,000 to print 145 copies. Silvaner said the school has asked the yearbook company to work with them to find a remedy. So this is the poll I put out. A high school senior listed Hitler's autobiography as his favorite book in the yearbook. The school has recalled the yearbook and is trying to fix the situation. Should the yearbook have been recalled? 28.6 said yes, 71.4 said no. I tend to side with the no on this one, and I'll tell you why. You know what? That is going to haunt that kid for the rest of his life. you know, when that guy's applying for some of his first jobs, or he's working somewhere, he's going to piss somebody off in the office. Somebody's going to do some snooping, and that's going to come back. Let it bite him in the ass. I mean, whether he believes Mein Kampf was the best book, or he was just trying to make a goof, you know what? Actions have ramifications. I mean, I think the school's actually doing him a favor by stopping the book, but at great cost. Why should the fucking yearbook eat the fucking cost? Why should the school eat the cost? Let this motherfucker eat the cost. You know, if we're going to redo it, make his family pay for it, you dumb motherfucker. Ha ha, who's laughing now? Mein Kampf? No, you're Kampf, asshole. Anyway.
When I was graduating high school many, many years ago, when you would write stuff for what you were going to have in your yearbook, they would review it. You know, I didn't write shit because I hated the place, but you know, I mean, you would get reviewed what you wrote. I'm surprised nobody saw this.
Well, I think everybody, Joe. I think everybody's surprised. I think they reviewed it. You know, maybe somebody left it in as a goof. I don't know. Something happened.
When I was a youngster, now, Grandpa, you told your story. It's time for Grandma. when I was a youngster, when I was in junior high, I was on the yearbook committee. And there was a collage to be done of pictures in the back of the book that was cutouts of people's faces, that of candid photos that have been taken throughout the year. And there was a girl that was really mean to me, amongst a bunch of mean girls. And there was a picture of her that somebody took of her face smushed up against a clear glass window, and it made a really bad pig nose face. So, you know, that was one of the pictures that I included in the collage.
Of course it was. Good girl.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a spike picture. I like it.
The yearbook advisor asked me, he was a really nice man. God rest his soul. He asked me, now, I know that she hasn't been very nice to you. Are you doing this to get back at her, or are you doing it because it's funny? And I said, no, Mr. Ring, I'm doing it because it's funny. It's a hilarious picture. Everyone will love it. Her friends will love it. And because he was a nice man and he trusted me, he believed my reasoning. But I did it because that bitch needed some comeuppance.
Good girl.
And
good girl.
My point is that other people on the yearbook, actually Mr. Ring, I think, caught that one of the questionnaires that the students had to fill out, my best friend, that bitch, when the questionnaire said, who do you hang out with, she wrote, no one special. And so Mr. Ring caught that, and he edited it to say friends. And he took me aside and told me that he did that because he felt bad for me that she had said that. Now, I'm telling you all this to say that there's a lot of stuff that goes on when yearbooks are edited. There's a lot of usually careful consideration about what goes through.
When your script's edited, too.
Yeah. How the fuck did somebody let this get by is amazing to me, and that's the thing that really needs to be looked at, is how that was missed, because holy crap. I mean, little pig nose Lisa is one thing. I'm sorry to our friends Lisas. This was bad Lisa.
They know.
Not them. Little pig nose Lisa had it coming. But if she had written that her favorite book was Mein Kampf, there's no way I'm putting that in there. There's no way that's staying if I'm editing. Somebody either did that to get this kid or said, you know what? You live by the sword, you die by the sword. This will follow you for the rest of your life, you stupid little bastard.
Yeah,
I think that it should be left in.
They're doing him a favor. Now, the question is, what happens if he if he made anti-Semitic quotes in there? Then do you leave that in? That's like...
No.
So anti-Semitic quotes, that gets out, or you recall it. You have to recall it. Quoting saying Hitler's autobiography is your favorite book. Yeah, you're hoisted by your own petard.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, here's what I would do. If I was the school, I would tell any students that want a different copy, we'll try to get you a different copy. Otherwise, you'll leave it in there. And then, if I'm talking to my legal counsel, I might consult, how much can we go after this kid's family for anything that we have to recoup, for any money that we have to lay out?
Do you think if he did that, it would be a freedom of speech issue that they would counter with if he went to a lawsuit?
Hey, I guess it could.
I feel that it shouldn't be in the book.
Yeah, but Joe, if we're talking about freedom of speech thing, for the sake of this argument, then the fact that they're recalling it, you could make that same argument.
I know. It's a very tricky situation.
Do you really want to be before the judge going, saying, you know what, not for nothing, Your Honor, but Mein Kampf is a great book, and I really believe it needs to be immortalized in our yearbook. I mean, you better hope you don't get yourself a Jewish judge.
Your Honor, Mr. Stein.
Yeah.
Also, this kid might be a nerd who's fascinated about history, that read the book and was intrigued and said, favorite book, maybe it was a book he was, oh yeah, Mein Kampf, maybe not realizing you know, the ramifications of that. I mean, that's, you know,
listen,
that's another take.
Listen, that's a special kid indeed. Like I said, I don't see why the other students should have to suffer. I don't see why the school should have to pay for it. And I don't see why the yearbook company should lose any money. Fuck this kid. Fuck this kid. Fuck his parents. Bad job. Your problem. And I hope it follows him. I hope next year we get to read, you know, in the fall that he got rejected from various universities because they tracked it down. And then I hope we cover in another 5, 6, 7 years that this haunted him getting jobs. Nothing would make me happier than to find him get fucked for this stupidity. Because that's the way I roll.
The student. Now, senator.
You know what? Not so crazy, Joe. Not so crazy, unfortunately.
Not so crazy at all. Unfortunately, these people live amongst us and govern us. Ugh.
All right, let's do a Bitches Be Crazy. Let me play that song, and Pip can get herself together.
Bitches be crazy, 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 bitches be crazy.
Hit it, Pip.
Well, you might have heard about this story. About, now, when I say bitches be crazy, bitches can be male or female bitches, but bitches be crazy. amidst an alarming rise in airline passengers being total assholes to their fellow passengers and flight crews while crammed into the giant bus in the sky, here's quite possibly the worst example of passengers gone wild. On Sunday, a woman on Southwest Airlines punched a flight attendant in the face after being asked to keep her seatbelt on while the plane was landing, causing the flight attendant to subsequently lose two teeth. According to Southwest Airlines spokesperson Chris Maines, easy for me to say, the woman who attacked the flight attendant repeatedly ignored standard flight instructions like tray, table in the upright position, put on your seatbelt, etc., and became verbally and physically abusive upon landing. CBS News obtained a video of the violent incident, and oh my God, this woman just stood up, roundhoused the right into the face of the flight attendant, and you can see in the video that she's got blood. Apparently, she knocked her teeth out. A male passenger stands up and thankfully got in between the two of them and said, "No, you do not treat flight attendants like that. You don't attack flight attendants. Calm yourself." And the other passengers were yelling at her to sit down and shut up, and I got a kid over here, and if you weren't showing off all night, this wouldn't have happened. And the woman kept yelling, "Well, she stepped up to me first." Bitch, no. First of all, she's a flight attendant, and there are rules. There are things that they ask you to do for everybody's safety, and some of them might seem petty, some of them might bother you, but that's tough, because you're in a tiny little tin can flying through the air, and that's why we have an FAA to keep shit normal, because we can't have people going off in airplanes all the time. What the hell is wrong with you? You are just a precious little thing. You get to do whatever you want wherever you are, and no, that's not how it goes. That's why you got a federal case against you for hauling off on a flight attendant. Stop it. Stop yourself. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that have been pulling this kind of nonsense lately, and you bitches got to calm yourselves down. Calm down. Listen to what they're saying. You are not special. Shut up. Put up your tray and sit there and be nice.
Yeah, I mean, you can't treat a flight attendant that way. I heard the proper way to treat a flight attendant is that you heard that they like bags and nuts. That's what I heard they like. So don't smack them around. Ask them that. They like sidle up real close to them.
And what airline was that?
Southwest.
You know what? In their defense, when we flew on Southwest, like, you don't wear uniforms. It's like the guy comes up, would you like some nuts? Who the fuck are you?
But Joe, why are you being a dick when he's offering you nuts? Either you're going to get a tasty treat or you're going to get a tasty treat. Either way, something exciting's about to happen.
Who the fuck is this guy?
He's a guy offering you nuts. What is your problem?
I know who this guy is. They don't wear uniforms in that fucking plane.
You know what, Joe? Stick out your hand and accept his nuts. That's all I can tell you.
Listen. There's a totally other thing going on. Like, recently there was a passenger fined over $52,000 because, from my reading of the description, is he got on the plane and his companion was trying to, like, calm him down, and he was, like, rushing from chair to chair. No, can't sit here. And so this is a person, obviously, with mental health problems from the get-go.
No. How dare you? A love of the game of musical chairs does not make one mentally deficient. I resent that, Pip.
Yeah, but you want to know something? When you have to go in a sealed tube with the guy through the sky at 400 miles an hour, you might want to kick him the fuck off.
You know what, Joe?
That was kind of like a hint at his future behavior, because he decided there was no way he was staying in this tin can, and he tried to open the cockpit door, and then he smashed a flight attendant in the face, and then he opened the side door and slid down the escape slide because he couldn't stay in the plane.
Jesus Christ. That, even ISIS would tell him he's got to behave.
Yeah, it's like, I understand that there are people who are mentally ill and they have problems when they get into a plane, and it's like, it would be good if there was some way to try to, like, keep them from getting on the plane in the first place. But if they don't show up until they're in the plane, then, you got to calm that down. But we can't
Here's a trick. Xanax.
And duct tape.
Yeah, duct tape.
Again, I must insist that you leave Joe's rape van out of this conversation.
This woman started showing off, apparently, earlier on in the flight, and other people noticed because of the comments that they were making on the videotape that the news had. But it's also special people thinking they're entitled to do anything and that the rules don't apply to them. I understand that flying has become a lot more onerous than it used to be in years. They're making the spaces smaller, and anybody who took psych in school and knows about the experiments of packing too many rats into a small cage knows that that's going to cause some friction. Add alcohol, and voila! We have people holding off on each other. But it's a really, thank you, it's a really good thing I think since 9/11 and we all heard about the Pennsylvania flight and the brave people that have said, oh no, we're let's roll, and they went after the terrorists, that people have become a lot less tolerant of shenanigans on planes. But we have to keep, and about anything going wrong, it's like, wait, there's more of us. You know, and the one guy standing up and saying, oh, hell no, good for him, and good for the other people that shouted her down, because now, because there are, flight attendants have a lot of shit to do, and they have to deal with a drunk, angry contingent of people, and so it's become like, bedlam in the sky. So I'm saying, you bitches, control yourself, or else the rest of us are going to take care of business too.
Yeah, because it fucked up everybody else's flight. You know, they get delayed. You're heading to LaGuardia. You got to land in Cleveland because this guy's an asshole.
You just named the two worst places anybody would want to fucking fly to: Cleveland and LaGuardia Airport. What are you taking shit air? What is wrong with you?
Lisa Two Eye has a great suggestion. Put them in a big pet carrier under the plane with the luggage.
There you go.
Oh, you know what? The funny thing, the plane's rocking back and forth, and like, are we hitting turbulence? No, they're hitting each other down there.
Yeah. Well, and also she said that the passenger should go on the no-fly list, and that'll show passengers how to act like human beings. I agree. I think that being able to fly is a privilege, and it doesn't necessarily mean that all of you, you crazy people, are supposed to be allowed on the plane. You act like this, you don't get to fly anymore.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's very good, Pip. Bitches certainly were crazy. All right, well, let's take our last break of the evening. On the break, we got new music from Erin Bloomer with Forget You and Forget Her Too, and Hypofi with Roundabout Girls. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, you're going to hear from Caroline. Is she British? Is she African? Is she a chick? Who knows? Stay tuned. We'll be back.